I would now like to introduce Derek O'Keefe, who will introduce Malalai Joya. We're incredibly proud that Derek, a former co-chair and still a longtime activist of Stop War, helped co-write this book with Malalai. It's only fitting that such a committed member of Vancouver's progressive community would collaborate with such a remarkable woman on this important political undertaking. Derek has been working in social justice for many years. Since 2002, he's invested a great deal of his energy into movements which call an end to the invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan. As a writer and editor, Derek has been involved in alternative media efforts for a number of years, helping to found Seven Oaks, an online journal, and contributing to Rabble.ca and a number of other print and online projects. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Derek O'Keefe.
Well, thank you very much. And before anyone gets too worried, my job is to introduce your featured speaker tonight, Malalai Joya. So I will be very brief and just say a few words of appreciation and thank you first before the introduction of Malalai to the incredible Peace Coalition and the incredible community of anti-war activists and social justice activists we have in Vancouver. So if you're part of this great coalition we have, StopWar.ca, if you've been to any of the rallies we've had over the last 6-7 years, give yourselves a round of applause now, please. This is, you know, sometimes writing, a writer gets more credit than all the people that are involved in making a project come to fruition. And I know Malalai was always reluctant to put her own life story into a book for fear that anyone would think that she wanted it to be about her rather than about her struggle. And so, again, it's a little, I'm a little bashful being up here at all to introduce her when I know of all the work it takes to keep an anti-war coalition going. And in fact, to allow me to have time to work on the book. I remember Malalai's schedule is always very up in the air and her travel and security always very much in doubt. So we found out at the last minute that there was going to be an opportunity to have some meetings with Afghan friends and translators in California to work on the early stages of the book. And so I got in a car and a few of us Stop War activists, we drove down to California to meet up with Malalai. And the problem was we had an anti-war demonstration here in Vancouver about 10 days away. And so we were leaving behind responsibilities here to organize the movement. And, you know, fortunately, we had this great coalition to back me up and to back us up and to keep organizing. So if you like anything you hear tonight from Malalai, if you like what you read in her book, please get involved in the local anti-war movement, StopWar.ca, and just generally in more activities for peace and justice. So very briefly, to speak a little bit, introduce to you Malalai Joya's life story. To get the whole thing, you have to buy the book afterwards from People's Co-op Bookstore, selling them here tonight. As a young infant, Malalai didn't know her father, because her father had been targeted for his involvement in the struggle for liberation from the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan, been targeted by the Afghan puppets of that invasion. And so when she was born in 1978, for a few years, she didn't know if her father was dead or alive. They only reunited when her family was forced into exile to live as refugees in Iran. There, with her father, mother, and eventually nine brothers and sisters, they grew up as refugees in the camps of Pakistan, where hundreds of thousands and even millions of Afghans were driven during the 1980s. And of course, many still remain, although Pakistani government has been forcibly closing many of those camps in recent years. There, at more than half her life ago, when she was 14 or 15, she became an activist and actually worked as a teacher, teaching illiterate fellow refugees to read. After she would take her classes in the day, she would give literacy classes in the evening. And she even was able to help to teach her mother to read and write. And from there, Malalai became more and more politically committed, again at an extremely young age. At the age of 19, she made a courageous decision to go back into Afghanistan during the years of the Taliban regime and work with an organization called OPAC, which she may speak a little bit more about, an incredible organization that at the time of the Taliban, they were some of the people organizing the secret underground girls' schools in supporters' basements And Malalai would sneak her books under her burqa every day and go to these secret schools. And she did this work for several years. And I think this alone gives her a lot of credibility today when she speaks out about the situation of women under this current regime and occupation, and about the fact that the situation for women has not improved. From there, she moved back to her home province in Farah, and in and around the time of 2001, 9/11, and the subsequent invasion by the United States and its allies, Canada as well, Malalai worked with the same organization, OPAC. She opened an orphanage, helped to open an orphanage, and a free medical clinic, which provided care and shelter for orphan children, and also medical care for really the whole province of Farah, which is, like all the remote provinces of Afghanistan, to this day, completely lacking in basic infrastructure, healthcare, and education. Malalai was already well known when she was in her early 20s because of this social activist work, and that's why her friends and family and others encouraged her to put herself forward for the Loya Jirga, which was a constitutional assembly held in 2003 to create a new constitution for the post-war Afghanistan, occupation regime in Afghanistan. Unfortunately, this regime was full of warlords and fundamentalists and some of the worst people in the entire history of Afghanistan, people who had killed thousands, especially during the Civil War year. While Malalai was the youngest delegate there, she was also the most courageous and principled. And she was the only one, or the one to do most strongly, to speak up. They gave her 90 seconds on the microphone, and then they cut her microphone. She spoke up and denounced the presence of these killers and warlords in this new regime that was being set up. And I'll stop her biography there. She went on to be elected to the parliament and then expelled for her outspoken views by these same warlords and their supporters. But I just wanted us to think a little bit about ourselves at any age if we would have had the courage to speak up in a similar situation. We all know of politicians, especially in this country in particular, I guess, that will, you know, sell out their principles or compromise what they know is right for the sake of getting elected, for the sake of a promotion. People might do it for a job or for money. Before Malalai spoke out at this Loya Jirga, even her best, strongest supporters were saying, if you do this, they will kill you. And they weren't saying they'll kill you eventually. These people, and there was a good chance that day that they would kill her, and indeed they did try. Despite this, she got to the microphone, she had her 90 seconds, and the rest is history to some extent. But unfortunately, the situation in Afghanistan has not improved. And over the past 6 years, Malalai has survived 5 assassination attempts. As I mentioned, she was expelled from this so-called democratic parliament, and we'll talk more about the so-called elections that take place in this occupied country. But Malalai, we're lucky to have her here tonight, and it's an honor to have been part of the process of getting this book out, and we're just delighted to have her here again amongst us. No one's cutting off her mic tonight. Let's all give a warm, warm welcome to Malalai Joya. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Very nice to meet you all. First of all, I would like to thank supporters and friends of StopWar.ca who invited me here and organized this event and gave me this opportunity to talk about the ongoing tragedy in my crying country and also about the realities of the so-called war on terror by US and NATO. Before to talk about the disastrous situation of my country, let me say first thanks for international song of our supporters and friends, which means a lot, this meaningful songs, as it has huge moral value, and your solidarity, support and solidarity of every one of you gives us more hope, courage, determination to not sit silent and continue to our struggle against injustice, against occupation, against these bunch of puppets, killers who are with the mask of democracy, they are in power, and also for women rights, human rights, democracy in my country. And I would like to thank you, Mr. Derek O'Keefe, who encouraged me and supported me as for a year I know him. As I said, support of every one of you has huge moral value for us, and your support gives us not only more hope, courage, determination. In the meantime, through U.S. support, you are giving helping hand to pro-democracy and anti-fundamentalist movement in my country. And thanks for your countless hours that you dedicated to this book. And Derek was one of those great activists, anti-war activists, as no need to talk about him. And one of our friends introduced him to you. And same like some other Democrat justice-loving writers who encouraged me to write a book on my life after when I became famous in 2003, that I stand up against these fundamentalist warlords in my country that after 9/11, with the mask of democracy, they come in power. When I attend as a speaker on in some conferences on behalf of my people, after that, some writers, Democrat writers, asked me to write a book on my life. I didn't agree with them. I told them I will introduce for you some other hero and heroine in my country that who are risking their lives. As always, I'm saying they are the secret hero and heroine of my country, but nobody know about them. And they did a lot for peace, for justice, for democracy, women rights, human rights in my country. And also I said I will introduce for you some orphans, some widows, that they are the one who must share their sorrows and sufferings with great justice-loving people around the world. But they told me, Malalai, on behalf of the war generation of your country, you can write about their life story as well. So it has three reasons that I accept to write this book. First, to tell the truth, because still in my country, the first casualty is the truth. And mainstream media also put that to the eyes of great and justice-loving people around the world. The second reason that I accept to write this book was to mask them, to tear the mask of these fundamentalist warlords who I told you after 9/11 tragedy, they come in power, who are photocopy of the Taliban. And still they are deceiving great people around the world. The third reason was that, at the tip of the iceberg, the sorrows and pain of my people reflect in this book, while I believe books is not enough to write about the so much deep tragedy of my country, especially this 30 years war. And hopefully this book will help to open the eyes and mind of democratic-minded, justice-loving, freedom-loving people around the world, as we need their helping hand, their solidarity and support for our people in our country. Right now, I come from a land of tragedy like Afghanistan that 8 years ago, after 9/11 tragedy, US and NATO, they pushed us from the frying pan into the fire. These North Alliance fundamentalists who are brother in creed of the Taliban, they did civil war in Afghanistan from 92 to 96. Alone in Kabul, in the capital of my country, they killed more than 65,000 innocent civilians. And to know better about them, you can see Human Rights Watch website, Amnesty International website, and many books has been written about them. But these fascist people, these cruel people, that they are a bunch of killers and puppets, and first of all, misogynists, same like Taliban, they come in power and imposed on my people. That's why today's situation for my people is quite catastrophic, especially for the women of my country, this half of population. Today, situation of women in most of provinces as catastrophic as it was under the domination of Taliban. But the only difference between Taliban period with now is that all of these crimes are happening under the name of democracy, women rights, human rights. We are talking about women rights in Afghanistan, but dear, most of women of my country, they do not have human life. These warlords, these misogynists who are in power, seem like Taliban. Together now, they even cut the nose and ears of the woman through hot waters on them. 1 month before in Mazar-Sharif, a misogynist man cut into peace two women. Today, killing of women, that much easy for these warlords like killing a bird. Rape cases, kidnappings, acid attacks, domestic violences, kidnapping of women are increasing rapidly. 14-year-old Bashira was a young girl that she has been raped by three men, one of them son of the member of the parliament, Haji Payinda. He is the cruel commander of Abdul Rashid Dostum. And he changed the age of her son by document less than 18 that do not be punished, and now he is free. That's why these violences against women increasing rapidly, because they are not only Taliban, warlords as well, that who are in power together continue to their fascism. The women of my country, even they didn't gain the limited rights that they enjoyed in the centuries of 60s, 70s and 80s. US government, NATO, Canada, shamelessly they portray themselves to they are telling big lies to the people of their country through mainstream media that first time we brought women rights in Afghanistan, which is not true. As after 9/11 tragedy, they said to you that women do not wear burqa now and they are free, etc. Many propaganda like that, while today most of women are wearing burqa to be alive. Today this disgusting burqa, which is symbol of oppression, as always I'm saying, it's like shroud for life body, but this burqa today give lives. It is true in some big cities like Kabul, Herat, Mazar Sharif, when you go, some women, they have access to job and education. First of all, even in these big cities do not have my people security, men and women. But in faraway provinces, situation for my people, especially women, is like hell. Today, there are not only women of my country that who suffer a lot. Millions of Afghan men and women, both of them do not have liberation at all. They suffer from injustice, insecurity, corruption, joblessness, poverty, etc. US and NATO, including Canada government, occupied my country under the banner of women rights. And day by day, these warlords who are with the mask of democracy, they are in power. They themselves tear their mask for the great people around the world. Maybe you hear that recently these Shia fundamentalists in Afghanistan, they made misogynist law against Shia women in my country, which is quite similar like Taliban. So an article of this law is completely like Taliban period, you can see in Human Rights Watch website, but let me give you one example of this law. They ban women to go out or go to the doctor or have job without permission of their husband, which is elementary rights of the woman. And this disgusting law, despite national international condemnation, has been passed and has been signed by Hamid Karzai, this shameless puppet man, who did compromise with these terrorist misogynists, and still he is doing compromise with them. The only difference between Taliban period with now is that, day by day, these warlords, they are making legal their crimes. If they make this kind of disgusting law or do not make, they are already in power and continue to their fascism. To know better about deep tragedy of my country, I think only this point is enough that after 8 years, they changed my country to the center of drug. Today, 93% of opium produced from Afghanistan. And recently, maybe you also got this news from New York Times that brother of Hamid Karzai, Ahmad Wali Karzai, is a famous drug trafficker, in the meantime receiving millions of dollars by CIA. My people call him a small bush in Kandahar province. And many other drug lords who have high post in Karzai's regime, they are in power. That's why since 2001 until now, 4,500% opium increased. And every year, through dirty business of opium, $500 million alone goes into the pocket of Taliban. And to know better about the ongoing catastrophic situation of my country, this example also enough that recently UNDP gave report that Afghanistan is ranked 181st out of 182 countries. Regarding official reports, $36 billion the government of Hamid Karzai this 8 years received from the international community under the name of orphans, widows, reconstruction of Afghanistan, education, etc. But most of these money went into pocket of warlords, drug lords, these NGO lords, donors, and these officials themselves. FAO gave report that 18 million people of Afghanistan, they live on less $2 a day. Media in Afghanistan gave report two mother of my country in Herat and Ghor province, they are ready to sell their babies for only $10 because cannot feed them. In many examples like this, as now it become open secret for the great people around the world. But still your government, Canada government, being part of NATO, that this 8 years they followed the wrong policy of the US government, they are sending their more taxpayer money to such a mafia corrupt system of Hamid Karzai. Now my people, they squashed between two powerful enemies. From the sky, occupation forces bombing, killing civilians, most of them women and children, under the name of Taliban. In the ground, Taliban and warlords together continue to their fascism. Before to tell you about the role of the troops, let me say on behalf of my people, condolences to you, to those suffer mom in Canada and also other countries who lost their sons and their daughter in my country as a soldier. My message to them is that please change your sorrows and your tears to the strength and raise your voice against the wrong policy, against the war crime of your government. Because... these troops themselves are the victim of the wrong policy of their government because send them for bad cause, for war. Your government, U.S. government, say war of Afghanistan is good war of Iraq is bad war. I don't know what's the difference between the word of war. And role of these troops in Afghanistan. Few examples is enough to know better about their role. As recently in Faro province on May this year, they did bombing and one day more than 150 civilians has been killed, most of them women and children. Even they used white phosphorus and cluster bomb. 11 bodies their family still didn't find because they has been cut into pieces. Even they are bombing our wedding parties, what they did in Ningarhar, in Nuristan, and also in Kandahar. In Ningarhar, 47 innocent civilians, including the groom and bride, in a wedding party has been killed when these occupation forces did bombing. On 9th of September, recently, 200 civilians has been killed in Kunduz province in the north of Afghanistan when they did bombing. After all of these war crimes, Karzai's mafia system, this corrupt system, say apologize. Sorry, White House says apologize, and Karzai's mafia system, this corrupt system, this puppet regime, say thank you. That is it. I think the blood of my people is not water that they shed. It's worth as much as the blood of Westerner worth. Regarding official figures, less than 2,000 Talib has been killed. More than 8,000 innocent civilians has been killed, most of them women and children. You can see Professor Mark Herald's website, this great Democrat American man who dedicated his hours to this website, and you can see the pictures of these victims in his website as well. And still they continue to their war crime in my country. But when Mr. Obama took office, unfortunately, his first news for my people was more conflict, more war. Foreign policy of Obama is quite similar like criminal Bush. And I think if Obama really honest for my people, first of all, he must say apologize to my people and end this occupation, criticize this criminal Bush. I think only criticize is not enough. He must try to bring this criminal Bush to the International Criminal Court for the war crime he committed. And now Obama decorated barbaric Taliban as a moderate to bring them also in power while we have no moderate Talib. They put soft name on these terrorists to have a reason through mainstream media to you to bring Taliban also in power, to make complete the circle of warlordism, draglordism, terrorism in my country. Also, they are trying to bring a fascist man like Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, who his name is in the blacklist of the UN. Criminal Bush put price on the head of this terrorist man, Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, $25 million if anybody find the dead or alive body of this terrorist. But Mr. Obama invite him to join the government as well. And now he starts war in Pakistan as well. I think situation of Iraq and Afghanistan is enough better to know that democracy never come by war, by cluster bomb, by barrel of gun, by white phosphorus. And you are looking that now Obama following war in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in supporting the criminal regime of Israel, what's going on today in Palestine, then receiving Nobel Peace Prize. So in such disastrous situation, they are talking about so-called free election in Afghanistan, which is very ridiculous. I think it was the most ridiculous and fraudulent election even in the world. Mr. Harper, your Prime Minister called this election, this tragic drama in my country that says it was a successful election, which is a big lie. And also that other politician, they are through mainstream media, they are trying to put more dust on your eyes as well. I think you also agree with us, election under the shadow of gun, warlordism, drug lordism, awful corruption and occupation forces has no legitimacy at all. My people, people on the streets before of the result of the election, they use this proverb, the winner will be like the same donkey, but with new saddle. And you saw the same donkey, but with same saddle come in power. Hopefully do not be insulted to the donkeys, this useful animal. Anyway, as a famous saying, it's not important who is voting, it's important who is counting. That's our problem. All the boxes in the hands of mafia. Most of, we have like your country, many, a lot of justice-loving, educated, well-educated, high-educated professors, intellectuals in some parties that there is no honorable job for them. Most of them did not run for the presidential election because they know that it's impossible to be democratic election, especially in the past also, this 8 years we experienced this kind of so-called free election. They betrayed the vote of my people in the past. That's why millions of Afghans did not attend in the election. Less than 10% people attend in the election. While there is no security, they don't have enough food to eat. And in the meantime, most of candidates discredit unknown faces. And they know that their vote and their wishes has no role in this election. That's why they did not attend in this tragic drama, so-called free election. So please do not be deceived by this election. For the second period, this election has been happened between Dr. Abdullah and Hamid Karzai. Both of them have many similarities. Both of them betrayed a lot my people. Both of them, this 8 years is enough, first of all, to know about them, as Abdullah was foreign minister of Hamid Karzai. And he belongs to these fundamentalist parties who did civil war in Afghanistan from 92 to 96. With suit and tie, in power, talking very beautiful about democracy, and their foreign master, through tragic drama of election, wanted to give them whitewash, to show them to you as a person who have support among my people. While, again, I'm telling you, these are just big lies. And now underground effort is going on. They are trying to bring Abdullah also in power, the main candidate of these warlords. As these warlords divided to two parts, a group of them did campaign for Hamid Karzai, and he did countless dirty deals with them again. And also another group of them for Abdullah. No need to waste our time to talk more about this non-democratic election. And while my people do not have enough food, you know, more than $250 million they spent for the election. And that's why we believe that your government wastes their taxpayer money by support of such corrupt people in this mafia system. To know better about injustice in Afghanistan, I think alone my case is enough to know. As 2 years before, they expelled me from parliament, which is quite a legal act in anti-freedom of speech, which is elementary part of democracy, but we don't have in our country. More than 80% seats of parliament belongs to these warlords, drug lords, to these criminals. They allow too few Democrats to be in the parliament, as now you can count real representatives in the parliament even with your finger. But they are in minority. In the beginning of parliament, these warlords, they made amnesty law, criminal forgive themselves, which is so ridiculous. Me and few others, we raised our voice against that, but who listened our voice? And despite national international condemnation, this law again has been passed by Hamid Karzai, which now give impunity to all of these criminals as much as they can. They continue to their crimes. And one reason that they expelled me from parliament was that, because I never said silence in the parliament. Because I was a woman. I exposed their mask and I was telling the truth. And when they expelled me from parliament, it only cost that I lost a tribune. But I got more tribune from my people, more solidarity from the innocent, voiceless, poor people of my country, and also justice-loving people around the world, which means a lot. As always, I'm saying, U.S. solidarity and support put extra responsibility on our shoulders. As this 2 years was bloody years for the journalists, today in Afghanistan we have jungle law. This constitution has some shortcoming, but if you put it in practice, if Democrat justice-loving people come in power, democracy slowly, slowly will come in my country. But now, this constitution is a beautiful thing in the shelf of Hamid Karzai to deceive you people around the world. 4 times they beat a journalist inside of the parliament while we have freedom for press. And many illegal acts like that. And all of these because of the broadened creed of the Taliban who are in power. It was just as a tip of the iceberg that I mentioned to you about the catastrophic situation of my country and these shocking news, which, again, I'm telling you, mainstream media are never giving these reports to you. I'm sure that if you know that truth, this truth itself is an alternative, I believe. When you know all of these tragedies, I'm sure you will not sit silent. And your government will face more, first of all, with resistance of you great people in these countries. As I said, my people now has been sandwiched between two powerful enemies. I think you also agree with us, to fight against two enemies is more difficult instead of one. That's why we want the withdrawal of the troops as soon as possible. And your government, after 2 years we leave, we bring back the troops, we withdraw the troops. But my people that much fed up that they today want the withdrawal of the troops as they continue to their crimes still under the name of democracy. They betray more and now they are supporting more these warlords who are more risky for the future of Afghanistan, now negotiating with Taliban. We have proud full history that we never accept occupation. If U.S. government and NATO do not stop this war crime, with the passage of time, I'm sure they will give good lesson to them as they gave in the past to the Russia as a superpower country and to the British 3 times in the past. When we want the withdrawal of the troops, it never means that you forget us. As huge difference between the wrong policymakers and also good people, ordinary people, justice-loving people of these countries, anti-war activists. We need your solidarity and support as much as you can. First of all, you are the one who put pressure more on your government to stop this war crime in my country, as I believe that you are agree with us that no nation can donate liberation to another nation. This is the responsibility of my own people to bring these values like democracy, women rights, human rights. But no question, we need your helping hand. It never means we want occupation. Because of their own strategic, regional and economic interests, they occupied my country. That's why they don't care to the wishes of my people, to their sorrows and their pain. Despite all of these problems, maybe one question comes in your mind, so what is the alternative? I think if really Obama is for Afghan people first, as I said, he must end this occupation, which is not war on terror, this is just war on innocent civilians. Second alternative, he must stop arming the warlords and not negotiate with Taliban. The third alternative, he must support democratic-minded, justice-loving people of my country while we have a lot. Some party, more than parties, intellectuals we have. But still they are underground activists and many risk for them. Please support them. And the fourth alternative, if really Obama is honest as a superpower country with 40 more countries who right now in my country, together with UN, they must put pressure on neighbor countries like Iran, Pakistan, Russia, Uzbekistan, etc., who they support Taliban and also warlords, they have their puppets in Afghanistan. Now my country look like a sick body, that all of these dirty-minded elements, they are like virus, they are like cancer that in Afghanistan, and they have support of these, their foreign master. And every one of these foreign countries, they want to have their own peace instead to give us helping hand. That's why that much my people fed up. Now they say, we don't expect anything good from you, just stop wrongdoing. And I have a lot to tell you, I think you also have you may have many questions as well. But let me conclude today's event with one of my memories. As in this book also you will read that I was teenager. I was teenager that we were in refugee camps once. As we hear that we belong to political situation like Afghanistan, that we are war generation, as I said, 30 years war. Anyway, when I heard about Palestinian bravery, especially their children of Palestine, as always I'm saying, they are hero as well. I said to my father, "Father, I wish that I was from Palestine, seeing a Palestine, Afghanistan, same disaster in both war country, and at least there see how children are brave." Then my father told me, "Malala, my daughter, why you don't want to be Palestinian of your own country?" So my message to you is that every one of us, especially to those countries, they have fascist regimes and these criminals are in power who do dirty business with politics, is that, and also to other countries, my message to freedom-loving fighters is that please, every one of us must try to be Palestinian of our own country. Thank you very much.